for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, July the 3rd, 1994. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Frank Marzulla is the speaker of the afternoon.
All right. Now, I want you to look in somebody's eyes. Look, hold their hands and look in somebody's eyes, right into their eyeballs. And I want you to say, you are the most beautiful creature that God created. But you need deliverance. Now, I want you to add, but you need deliverance. Glory to God. Well, after hearing that song, guess what I'm going to talk about? I'm going to talk about the greatest obstacle to faith. Fear. Fear. See, the Word of God tells us that when we praise the Lord, He is enthroned in our praises. Psalm 32. Amen? 23, excuse me. But sometimes what stops us from praising the Lord, from functioning the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is fear. How many here have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues? Okay, praise the Lord. Now, you that speak in tongues, how many have never prophesied? Oh, look at all those hands.
Oh, my.
And you know why? You're chicken. You're afraid of making a mistake. You're afraid. Supposing I'm wrong. Supposing it's not God. Supposing... Did you ever spend a night supposing? Supposing this, supposing that? That's not from God. That's the enemy injecting that in you. Amen? Because if we trust the Lord with all our hearts, if we trust in Him, who shall be afraid? Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So fear oftentimes stops us from receiving, from worshiping. And sometimes a man can say he wants to... Did you ever try to prophesy and suddenly there were butterflies in your stomach and you kept quiet? And then somebody got up and said the same thing that you had on your mind.
That's right. Amen.
Who had that kind of an experience?
Yeah.
I've had that many times.
Yeah.
But you see, family, we have to be willing to make a mistake because we're a bunch of mistakes. Praise God that He corrects.
Amen.
Amen. All right. I want you to turn to Isaiah 43. And we're going to read verse 1. Isaiah chapter 43. See, when God visits us, when God comes and talks to us, one of the things that comes in is fear. Remember when He sent the angel Gabriel to Mary? What did the angel Gabriel say, the first thing? Fear not. Because oftentimes we're afraid of heavenly manifestations. I remember when I was a small boy, I went to St. Patrick's Roman Catholic Church, right across the street from my father's bakery. You see, I used to be a baker. Did you know that? Yeah. I didn't meet the Lord until I was 53 years old. Never knew the Lord. Never opened the Bible until I was 53. Because I had something in me. When I was a small boy, I would go in the church and there, high above the altar, cathedral ceiling, there was a picture of Father God, lightning bolts coming out of His eyes. And I knew He was out to get me. I was a bad little kid. And I was afraid of God. I didn't know He was love. Amen. He was love. And so there was fear in me. And it took quite a while before I got rid of that fear. See, and as I read this scripture, it reminded me of when God called me. Verse 43 of Isaiah. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel. See, I was a Jacobite one time. You were all Jacobites until you met the Lord. Amen? Isn't that right? Connivers, manipulators, liars, cheaters. Am I talking to the right people?
Amen.
And then He who formed you, O Israel, He turned me into Israel, the redeemed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I remember I was up in Minnesota in Gerald Durstein's Gospel Crusade camp. That's where I met the Lord. I had received the Holy Spirit, and there I was in my bedroom. My wife was sleeping in one bed, I was sleeping in another. And I heard a voice saying, Frank, and a knock, like somebody knocking at the door. I got up out of bed and went to the door. There was nobody there. And I said, well, there must be another Frank on the campgrounds here. And I went back to bed, about to put the covers on, and the voice said, Frank, get on your knees.
Hallelujah.
Then I knew who it was. It was my Heavenly Father calling me to repent. I had received the Holy Spirit. I spoke in tongues, but I had yet to repent. Now, I know, you know, if anybody here, Roman Catholic or ex-Roman Catholics, you know you go to confession. Well, I've been to confession many times, and I'm not faulting the church, but I used to say the same things all the time. And sometimes I would go to another church so the priest wouldn't know me, so he wouldn't know what I was saying. I'd be a stranger to him. But I was the hypocrite. I was the hypocrite. But this time, I got on my knees, and I saw, like I was watching television, my life flashed before me, everything I ever did to hurt my Father in heaven. And I wept, I cried. The floor was wet with my tears. And then I felt something lifted off me. And I knew for the first time in my life, my sins were forgotten and forgiven. Now, again, I say, I do not fault the church. It was me. This time I was sincere. This time I really meant it. Amen? I was a new person. But I still had fear in me. And so we see that fear sometimes stops you from functioning the gifts of the Spirit. Now, there are different kinds of fear. There's a healthy kind of fear. If you're in an airplane and all of a sudden the door rips open, whoo, that's fear. Or you're walking in the field and the lightning is flashing all about you, that's fear. That's a healthy kind of fear. Then there's the fear of the Lord. Now, of course, we know what it says in Proverbs, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But I want to talk about a demonic kind of fear. A fear that's continuous. A fear of, for instance, a fear of being alone, a fear of being rejected, a fear of people, a fear of the dark, a fear of claustrophobia, a fear of high places, a fear, a demonic kind of fear, okay? And this is the kind of fear we have to get rid of, a fear of being a burden to society, a fear of your husband leaving you or your wife leaving you, a fear of getting AIDS, a fear of dying. A fear that you're not going to heaven. Now, the fear of the Lord is positive. This other kind is demonic, the one I'm describing. Amen? So this afternoon, we're going to get rid of fear and everything that accompanies fear. Okay? All right? How many here have some kind of fear? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. I'm talking to the right people. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now, here's where it all began. We know that, Genesis chapter 3, and starting with verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Now, that's a funny question, isn't it? God didn't know where they were? Where are you? Did God know where they were?
Yes.
Sure. But God was saying, where are you now in your relationship to me?
Right.
Adam, something happened. We lost that tender, loving relationship that we had. Adam, you did something that turned my face away. Remember when Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, why have thou forsaken me? Why did he say that? Because he became sin. And God hates sin. And Father God turned his face away from his beloved son because what he saw was sin. Amen? And here in the garden, verse 10, Adam answered him and said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now, what caused him to be afraid? Sin. Rebellion. Sin came into the garden. Sin came into Adam. And fear came with the sin. See, because there's a separation from God. Anytime anyone is any kind of sin, there's a separation from God. And fear also comes in. Amen? Fear. And fear, we know if a sin brings fear, because God wants people to love Him, to hear Him, to fear Him, not be afraid of Him. That is fear, the awesome, loving fear of the Lord is what I'm talking about. Not to fear God, to be afraid of Him, but to fear to hurt Him, to fear to displease Him. And this is why when he talks to man, he starts by saying, fear not, fear not. And the enemy knows this. And he always tries to inject some element of fear into your life. And eventually, fear brings torment. Torment. Amen?
Yes.
Fear of not being accepted. Do they really love me? What happens if I forget my notes and I don't know what to say or what? Am I not prepared? Will they laugh at me? See, what happens if I fail as a preacher? Or as a provider? As a husband? What happens? What about tomorrow? What about supposing they cancel me out? What shall I do? See, fear cripples us so that we cannot function rationally. Amen? And some say, the Lord says, don't worry about what you say. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. That's true, but I'm going to prepare also.
Amen.
Is that right, for George? Brother, I preacher, I'm going to prepare. Amen. I might fall flat on my face. The Bible says, having done all, then stand. I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. I just want to keep this theme up, Numbers chapter 13. Amen. Starting with verse 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men out to spy at the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of your father you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. Here, God is saying, pick a leader from each one of them. And so they did pick the leader. And these leaders went out. Notice what the Lord says. I am giving the land to you. I am giving the land to you. See, family, even though we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, even though theoretically we are living with Him in heavenly places, even though we are already in Canaan land, there's fear. See, fear is the giants. The giants that the spies went to see. They went and they saw giants. Now, they already heard the word of the Lord that said, I've given you the land. Just go in and take it. Yeah, but what did they say? With their natural eyes, they saw the giants. Here were the children of Israel that saw the mighty God open the Red Sea, do all these things. The giants are in the land, right? What was it that brought the? What brought that? Fear. Fear of what they saw. Instead of depending on the living God. And see, this is what happens. We Christians, we look at what we see with our natural eyes. How many here have received a healing at one time or another? Raise your hand. Almost all of you. Yet you, sometimes, even though you received it, you still fear that you won't be healed this time. Is that right?
Right.
Come on. Hey, is that right? Yes or no?
Yes.
Amen. When I go to South America, I say, see or no? Okay. We were like, see, I want you to respond to me. I don't want you to shake your head, do something, make a noise.
Amen.
Glory to God. You see? Now, here in Numbers chapter 13, verse 23, it describes the beautiful land. It describes how abundant the land is. They came to the valley of Eshcol, and they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between the two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranate and figs. Now, they saw the wonderful land it is. But then, in verse 25 to 29, they come and they describe the obstacle, the giants. And then it goes on to say, it says at the end, and there we saw the giants, verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Now, any time, family, you have a low opinion of yourself. You know, you're like a grasshopper.
Well, what could I do? I can't do anything. Oh, I don't know. I feel awful. I feel miserable. I think I'll eat worms and die.
See, when you start thinking like that, the enemy says, yes, right. That's what you are. You're a grasshopper. You're nothing. What do you think you can do? You can't do anything. Oh, if you try to sing, you're going to be off key and they're going to laugh at you. They're going to, you see, if you start thinking of that, if you think that you're nothing, well, then you are, because the devil says amen to it.
Right.
Do you know, any time you speak a negative word, the prince and power of the air about us says amen to it, and you are. You hear what I said?
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Because you can say that to yourself. I've never did anything right. I've failed all my life. Well, you're a failure, and you'll always be a failure until you get that spirit out of you.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And so they were grasshoppers. They thought we, in the eyes of those people, were grasshoppers. And in our own eyes, I'm a grasshopper. Well, then I'm a grasshopper. Amen.
Amen.
See, well, now, you know, I shouldn't sit in judgment in these people. Now, we shouldn't sit in judgment in these 10 negative spies that went out. Because what would you do if you went there? What would you do if you went there? Because you have to remember that some of us are doing that right now. Thinking negative instead of, praise the Lord, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And then go out and do it. Amen? Amen. You see, if you start getting these negative thoughts, supposing, in your mind, then the enemy is going to clobber you. I remember my wife, my daughter, my granddaughter, and my daughter's sister-in-law went out blueberry picking. And I was all alone at home. This was about 8-9 years ago. And then I get a telephone call. A stranger called me and said, are you Mr. Marzullo? Yes. I said, he said, there's been a terrible accident. Your wife and daughter and they're all been crushed in that Volkswagen. You better hurry, run. They're going to fly in by helicopter to Halifax Hospital in Daytona Beach. You know, whenever you get startling news like that, you could let the devil have a field day or you can turn it into a glorious victory. The first thing I did was get on my knees and say, Father, these are your children. And Father, I'm calling you. I'm dependent on you to save my family, my wife, my daughter, my granddaughter. I'm dependent on you. I command that spirit of death to leave in the name of Jesus. I went into spiritual warfare immediately, all by myself. I cried. Yes, I cried. But at the same time, I was fighting. Amen? And then I called everyone that I can think of and said, my wife, my family needs prayer. Pray with me. And then I remember that they told me my wife was not going to live. She was 71 or 2 at that time. I don't remember what, but she was, and she had 9 broken bones, broken jawbone, broken cheekbone, broken pelvis. Her leg was broken in 2 places. Arm was broken. Thumb was broken. Internal injuries. Concussion. All this problem. They never expected her to live. And there she was in the hospital, all filled with painkillers. And I was walking up and down, praying in the spirit. And as I was praying, the Lord said, prophesy to her. And I pointed my finger at her. And I said, you shall get up out of that bed. You shall walk by my side. You shall minister again with me, thus saith the Lord. That's all I said. Now, it didn't happen right away. 5 weeks in the hospital, 6 weeks at home, in a wheelchair. The nurse said that my wife was dying. I fired the nurse. We had three nurses around the clock. I took the place of the night nurse. And every time my wife screamed in pain, I went there and prayed in the spirit. Just prayed in the spirit. I didn't know what else to do, but that was the right thing. Eventually, from a wheelchair to a walker. Finally, she threw a cane away. She said, I'm not going to... Don't you put a sticker on the car, you know, a wheelchair sticker. I said, well, that brings us close to the place. She said, I don't want it. Glory to God. Anyway, she's here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, family, if you have a low self-image... If you reject, that's what it is, rejection, self-rejection. And if you reject yourself, you're trapped by the enemy, the devil. Amen? And then see what happens. Rejection begets rejection.
More spirits come in. What did fear do here in this scripture that we were reading? God gave them the land. It was theirs. The land, God that parted the Red Sea, that did all those wonderful things. They saw them, God's miracles. Yet they wanted the God. They want, what have you done for me now, Lord? I want it now. See, what it is, they're fighting against God. Amen. Now I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Now this is the same story. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 25 to 27. Here also describes the fruit of the land. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought back word to us, saying, it is a good land which the Lord our God has given us. Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Family, I want you to know something. Anytime, now you can write this down as a fact, anytime you rebel against the word of the Lord, whether it's the written word or the spoken word, anytime you rebel, there's a curse connected to it.
Amen.
Anytime, everyone say, anytime,
anytime.
I rebel against a word of the Lord, there's a curse connected to it. I want you to remember that. That's important. No matter what the word is that's written, that's said, anytime you rebel, there's a curse connected. And murmuring, and you murmured in your tents. Murmuring. Did you ever murmur? Did you ever murmur against the anointed of the Lord, against your pastor? Well, you're awfully quiet. There's no amen on this one. See, murmuring is a sin. God hates murmuring because you're not trusting God to take care of the situation. You even think that God must hate you because of all that's happening. See, fear and murmuring are contagious. Amen? It's gloom, sorrow, sadness, depression. Did you ever sit near a depressive person that kept talking about depression and all gloom and doom? Did you want to keep staying near that person or did you want to run away?
Run away.
You want to run. See, because that's contagious. Those are spirits. Amen? Amen. You hang around with a depressive person and you're going to find yourself saying the same thing.
That's right.
Now I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. Now 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now we've been reading this chapter lately. Chapter 10. And we're reading verse 1 to 12. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters, as some of them were, and as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them then did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Verse 10, nor murmur, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as example, and they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the age have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Now here, notice what it's doing. It's coupling murmuring with fornication, with idolatry, with all kinds of uncleanness, plain murmuring. Now, of course, the penalty for fornication, for idolatry in the Old Testament was what? Stoning to death. The penalty was death. Supposing God did that now, I wonder how many of us would be here in this room, really. Do you think God took away his judgment on murmuring or fornication? No. Do you know that God's judgment is still the same?
Yes.
We should always say, thank God for your mercy. Thank God that you give us time to repent. Amen. But his judgment is still the same. He hates it. And he hates murmuring the same as he hates fornication and idolatry. You see, when we commit idolatry, when we go and read horoscopes, when we go to a fortune teller or any kind of occultism, we commit spiritual adultery.
Right.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Now, when I just came back from it, my wife and I just came back from Italy. We came back last week. And I had the opportunity to speak to 2,000 Catholic people. They had a big, big tent, big concert hut kind of tent. And I spoke to 2,000 people. And I said, you go to confession, don't you? And everybody said, yes. Have you ever confessed that you read horoscopes? See, none of them ever. I said, you've never confessed that. And that's spiritual idolatry, spiritual adultery. I said, you committed a worse sin than missing Mass on Sunday. That's right. And they see, they commit that, they consider that a great sin, a mortal sin. I said, have you ever confessed that you have unforgiveness in your heart toward your brother? That you have resentment? You hate your brother or your sister or your cousin or whoever? That's murder, according to the Word of God. Have you ever confessed that? You see, family, we don't think of these things. That if it wasn't for His mercy, none of us probably would be here. And I just say, thank you, God, for your mercy. But at the same time, family, listen carefully. When we have done these things, we open the door. We have stepped in Satan's kingdom. We have stepped in his kingdom, and we're tainted with darkness. And this is why some of us can't function like we should. Some of us can't relate to the living God like we should, because there's darkness that crept in. You see, sin opens the door. And fear is lack of faith in the living God. Did you hear what I said? Amen. See, and God's judgment against murmuring, against authority, is still the same now. And we have to repent of that. Amen. Now, before we go on any further, I want all of us to bow our heads. And I want us to repent. Repent of that murmuring. Repent. You heard the scripture. You've done everything, anything that I have read. Repent of it now. Ask God to forgive you so that we can go on and be cleansed and be clean before the eyes of the Lord. Father God, I repent. Forgive me. My thoughts, my ungodly thoughts, my murmuring, my criticizing, my judgmental. Forgive me. Forgive my brothers and sisters. Forgive my father, my mother, my ancestors. Forgive them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to turn back to Isaiah 43, Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going to continue on there. Verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, family, you have been bought with a price. As it says in verse 1, you are a slave of the whole of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't belong to yourself anymore.
Right.
We're all slaves. I want everyone to say, I'm a slave of Jesus.
I'm a slave of
Jesus. He bought me with his blood.
Yes,
that's true. But you're peculiar kinds of slaves. You are slaves that still have free will. You have the right to obey the master that bought you or to disobey him. Isn't that right? Now, when you disobey him, automatically you are obeying another god. You're either for me or against me. Amen? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Either that or oh my, one or the other. Okay, praise the Lord. All right. Amen. See, you have free will to obey the master or not. That's up to you. And you have free will to be set free. See, your will is involved in being set free, in being delivered. Because God does not go against your will. And the devil takes advantage of that. Amen. Because you have to know that just as the flood came in Noah's time, the flood is going to come against you. And you have to be in the ark. in that place of safety. Amen? That's where you have to be. See, the floods have come. Will you drown with fear, or will you be in the shelter of the ever-loving arms of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. When you go through the fire, now what is the purpose of fire? Purifying, cleansing. Did you ever say, oh, that person burns me up? Come on, did you ever say that? You're going through the fire. God is testing you. God is testing your reactor. Your reactor. Amen. Amen. Remember the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? We sat. You know, I love that song they sang. When they sang that song yesterday, I said, I got to get that song. Because, see, I always preach about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they threw them in the fire. And the one that threw them got burned. And then old King Ned, when he looked into the fire and he saw it, instead of three, he saw four. And that fourth one looked like the Son of God. And I wonder what went through the old king's mind. How did that guy get in there? But he was there. And as the song said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out. Not even the smell of smoke on them. Can you think of that? Not even the smell of smoke. But the other one, the Son of God, the fourth one, he's still in the fire. He's waiting for you when you go through the fire. Because you're going to go through the fire, whether you like it or not. I remember during World War I, I was a crane operator in a brass factory. And these men would, turn that furnace tremendous degree and melt all that copper and so forth, and metal. And then they look into it and they get like a little rake and they sort of skim it and take all the stuff off of it so they can be nice and clear. Now, I want you to know that Father God does the same thing to us. See, lets us go through the furnace. And he looks into us to see if that gold that we're supposed to be is cleansed or not. And if he doesn't see his image in us clearly, turns up the furnace some more. But when he sees his image clearly in us, we're ready. We've been done. Amen. That's what he's looking for. Amen. Then we are pure gold. And you know what gold is? Divinity. We have the Spirit of the living God in us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now remember, he is still waiting for you in the fire. Now as it says in Isaiah 43, verse 4, since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored. I have loved you. I have loved you. You have to know that God loves us with a never dying love. He wants us to be like His Son, Jesus Christ. But He's waiting for us to say, yes, Lord, go ahead and mold me, change me. I'm willing. I'm willing to go to the fire. I'm willing to do anything you say. I'm willing. That's where He wants us. Because, you know, He puts us on the escalator to go to the fire. As soon as we come near the furnace, whoop! Nobody wants to go through the fire. Because nobody wants to die. And you have to die in order for resurrection life to live in you.
Right.
It's not going to come in you any other way except that you die to the old nature. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're loved. We're honored. We're the apple of His eye, the song we sang. We are called by His name. Amen? All right. Now, I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And starting with verse 6. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Just think of what that verse there. He who overcomes. We have to learn to be overcomers. We have to do it. We have to want to be saved, healed, delivered. We have to be overcomers. And I will be his God, and he will be my people. But then the next verse, notice what it says in that next verse. But the fearful, some scriptures say the cowardly, but the fearful, the, The first in line, the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And who's the first in line? The fearful. Why? Because they don't trust the Lord to take care of them. Remember what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28? All things work together for good for those that love me, that are called according to his purpose. All things. Even when you're going through a fire, even when there's some kind of a problem, even when a sudden storm comes, all things work together for good. You have to remember, there's some storms you're able to rebuke. There's some storms you're able to rebuke. Get away from me, Satan. There's some storms you're going to have to go through. Amen? But remember also, he's in the midst of the storm. He's in the midst of the fire. Amen? Amen. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, he's the first in line, the first one on the list. He's not going to inherit the kingdom. He's going to be in the lake of fire. Notice that line up there. Murderers, sexually immoral. That means homosexual, lesbians, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. All liars. Amen? Now, last scripture I want you to see is in Psalm 27. Psalm 27. This is a familiar psalm. I want us to read 1 to 5 together. I'm reading from Paul's Bible, which is the New King James. Nobody heard that. Okay. Are we ready to read now? Let's read it together. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And we know who the rock is. That rock is Jesus, the only one. That rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. The anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Amen. Amen. You know, I have a favorite proverb. Proverbs 16:7. That belongs to me. Nobody take it. That's mine. If a man makes his ways pleasing unto the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. You want to know how to be set free? Make your ways pleasing unto the Lord. Make your ways pleasing unto the Lord. Our Lord? Amen. Now what we're going to do, family, we're going to command some of these spirits of fear, murmuring, heaviness, all these other spirits that go along with that, in the name of Jesus, out. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Now, before we go into that, remember, we're all going to say the same thing at the same time. That's for your own protection, because nobody will know what's coming out of who if we all say the same thing. Obviously, we don't all have the same kind of spirits in us. Now, spirits come out, and I'd like to bring that scripture to you. Turn to Mark chapter 1 and verse 23. Mark chapter 1 and verse 23 to 26. How the spirits come out. Now, there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him or torn him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Now, how did that unclean spirit come out? With a loud voice. Everybody say, loud voice. Now, if you were to utter a loud voice, you'd also expel a lot of breath. I want you to utter a loud voice without using any breath. Impossible. See, the spirits come out on the breath. Okay? The word for spirit and the word for breath in the Greek is the same word, pneuma. Okay? So they're going to come out on your breath. Any act of expelling your breath, such as burping, sneezing, crying, yawning, coughing, general relaxation, they can come out of any part of you. But mostly they come out of this big fat mouth. Because that's how a lot of them came in. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? So that's the way they're going to come out. So we're going to start commanding them to come out. And if you're chewing gum, you take the gum out of your mouth. Don't put it under the seat, whatever you do. Stick it on your nose or someplace, but don't put it under the seat. Put it in a paper napkin. And uncross your legs. Give them the opportunity to come out of any opening, any part. They sometimes come out of the ears, out of the nostrils. They come out of any part of you. But usually they come out of the mouth, on the breath. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now we're going to start commanding them to come out. And we're going to lead you in a couple of prayers first. And first of all, I want you to, you've been sitting a long time, I want you to stand. I want you to say, I cover myself
with the precious blood of Jesus
from head
to toe.
I put a circle around me of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I put on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, my loins girt about with truth, my feet shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace, holding the shield of faith with which to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. Get ready now. Are you ready? Wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I cover this sanctuary with the blood of Jesus. Say it, I cover the sanctuary. I cover my home, my loved ones, the place where I work, my car, and even the animals that live in my house with the precious blood of Jesus. Okay, while you're standing, I want you to make a reaffirmation of your love for Jesus Christ. Say,
Lord Jesus,
I confess you to be my Lord and Savior.
I confess you to be my Lord and Savior.
You died on the cross for my sins.
You died on the cross for my sins.
And you rose again from the dead.
The third day after you died.
Lord Jesus, you forgave me all my sins.
Thank you for forgiving me.
For cleansing me.
For justifying me.
Through your precious blood. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, now you're ready. Say, amen. Now you're ready. Turn to someone and say, you're going to be set free. Amen. Okay. Now you may be seated. Please be seated. Now we're going to concentrate on fear this afternoon. Especially on fear. All kinds of fear. But we also want to get some accompanying spirits that go along with fear. Because, for instance, anyone that has been involved in witchcraft, in occultism, in any form of occultism, transcendental meditation, reading horoscopes, divination of any kind, going to a seance, guaranteed they're going to have fear in them. And with that, depression. So we're going to get all those accompanying spirits out, all right? So first of all, I want us to say a prayer. This prayer that we will forgive everyone that has hurt us. I want you to say,
Lord Jesus,
I confess that I've been hurt by people during my life. And it's quite possible that I have resentment and unforgiveness in my heart.
And
I call upon you, Jesus,
to help me forgive
everyone that has hurt me. I now forgive. I want you to think of the people that have hurt you. Usually the ones that have hurt you are the ones close to you, your father, your mother, your brother, sister, relative, husband, wife, children, sweethearts, lovers, schoolmates, employers, employees, and start forgiving them. I forgive so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. This is between you and the Lord. He hears you. I forgive. Say, I forgive them all, Father.
I forgive them all.
Even the ones I cannot now remember.
Even the ones I cannot now remember.
Whether they're living or dead.
I forgive.
And I forgive myself. For what I did to myself. And what I have done to others.
I now command out of me.
Every spirit of unforgiveness.
Resentment.
Hatred.
Bitterness.
Root of bitterness.
Envy.
Jealousy.
Retaliation.
Revenge.
Self-resentment,
and all like spirits. Everyone take a deep breath and let it out. Again, take a deep breath and let it out, okay? Do what comes naturally. If you feel like coughing or burping or sneezing, whatever it is, just do it, let it out. That's it, in Jesus' name. And it wouldn't hurt you to take an experimental cough sometimes. You might do it voluntarily, but you might end up doing it involuntarily. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I command out of me.
I command out of me.
Every spirit of occultism.
Every spirit of occultism.
Spirits that came into me. When I played with a Ouija board. Or went into fortune telling.
Automatic handwriting.
ESP.
Hypnotism.
Self-hypnosis,
when I read horoscopes,
or when involved in levitation,
I command these spirits
and all like spirits
to lead me in the name of
Jesus. Take a deep breath. Now let it out. Again, take a deep breath. Let it out. That's good. That's good. Say, in the name of Jesus,
I command out of me
all spirits of transcendental meditation,
soul projection,
Santeria,
Santa Claus spirits,
Halloween spirits,
evil Easter spirits.
I command all these spirits to leave me in the name of Jesus.
All right,
take a deep breath and let it out. Amen. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, now we're going to tackle fear, okay? Before we do that, I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 3. I want someone that has the King James, the old King James, to read that, please. Who has the old King James? You have it? No, 20 and verse 3. The second part of verse 3. Read it. Okay. Now, in your margin, what does Magor Misabib mean? Fear on every side. If you haven't in your Bible, write it in. Magor Misabib means fear on every side. Roundabout. Terror roundabout. Okay. That's the principality of fear. All right. I want everyone to say, now look in your Bible, you see the name Magor Misabib. I want everyone to say it. Say, Magor Misabib. That's terror on every side. All kinds of fear. A person that's afraid of, you name it, afraid of everything. You know, all kinds of terror, right? Now we're going to get rid of phobias, all kinds of phobias. Acrophobia, claustrophobia, all kinds of fear. Phobia means fear. Okay? Now we're going to get rid of all that right now. Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus, I command out of me,
and out of my bloodline,
every spirit of Magor Misabib,
of fear,
fear of animals,
fear of dogs,
cats,
fear of the dark,
fear of witches,
fear of goblins,
of the boogeyman,
fear of ghosts,
fear of heights,
fear of being in a close place,
claustrophobia,
fear of dying.
Fear of
being raped.
Fear of
Now, name your own particular area of fear. Now, I don't want the children to laugh, please. This is serious. And if you feel like laughing, then it's a mocking spirit. And we have to get rid of that, too. Now, name your own particular fear, what it is, and say, I command all these fears and all my childhood fears
to leave me in the name of Jesus.
Take a deep breath. Now, let it out. Out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Cough it out. All fear. Fear round about. Fear, fright, torment, trembling, horror, fear of death, nightmares. Out in the name of Jesus. Apprehension, anxiety. Out. Agitation, timidity, inferiority. These are all accompanied with fear. All out. As I name them, I want you to take a deep breath and get them out. Say, as I name them, right? Fright, torment, trembling, horror, terror, nightmares, apprehension, anxiety, worry about tomorrow, agitation, timidity, shyness, inferiority, inadequacy, tension, stress, heart attacks, fear of poverty, fear of man, and all phobias. I command them all to leave me in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Now let it out. Take a deep breath. Now cough it out. Out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, yes, Lord, thank you, Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. All right, now we're going to tackle some of the spirits of the tongue that's in your mouth, so to speak. Say, in the name of Jesus,
I command out of me
all lying spirits,
hypocrisy,
cursing, blasphemy, gossip, blabbermouth, murmuring. I command them to leave me in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Now let it out. Out in the name of Jesus. Again, take a deep breath. Now out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Now accompany that. Now we're going to get rid of some of the spirits, for instance, that have still come associated with the mouth, such as drugs and so forth. Say, in the name of Jesus,
I command out of me
all spirits of addiction,
tobacco,
drugs,
alcohol,
gluttony,
obesity,
compulsion,
and all like spirits.
All right, take a deep breath. Now let it out. Again, take a deep breath. All spirits of addiction, out. Out. Now remember, you can be addicted to caffeine, you can be addicted to Coca-Cola, to chocolates. What is your addiction? Call it out. Come on, make it personal now. Call it out. Say, I command out of me, and now name your personal form of addiction. And command it to go. I command it to go. Take a deep breath. Now let it out. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus,
I command out of me
all spirits of anger,
rage,
temper,
violence,
murder,
I can kill,
and all like spirits.
Take
a deep breath. Now let it out. Again, take a deep breath. Now let it out. Amen. 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 Say, in the name of Jesus,
I command out of me
all spirits of mental disorder,
confusion,
forgetfulness,
mind-binding,
schizophrenia,
double-mindedness,
false personalities,
senility,
insanity,
a fear of germs,
paranoia,
hallucinations,
and all spirits of the mind,
and all
sicknesses of the mind,
I command these spirits to leave me in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Okay, take a deep breath. Go in the name of Jesus. Now, this is good because I see a lot of people yawning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Say in the name of Jesus,
I command out of me
all spirits of the Antichrist,
spirits of rebellion,
spirits of pride,
Jezebel,
Ahab, manipulation,
control,
domination,
and all like spirits.
All right, take a deep breath. Now let it out. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now we're going to leave some spirits for tomorrow, aren't we? We'll be here all day otherwise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's some spirits. There's a spirit that I want to call out, and it's a serpent spirit. Sometimes it entwines around you, gives you pain around your stomach area, from your spine all the way around. It's a spirit. It's an Indian name for it, called Kundalini, the serpent spirit. And some people don't realize that they have it. Now, I want you to say in the name of Jesus,
I command out of me
all serpent spirits,
scorpion spirits,
especially Kundalini. I command it to leave me in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Now let it out. Again, take a deep breath. Out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. You get rid of that spirit. You won't have that problem, that stomach problem anymore. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to stand up. I want you to say,
Holy Spirit.
Spirit of the living God.
Please come into me.
With all that you are. With your love,
your
joy,
your peace,
your long suffering,
your faithfulness,
your goodness,
your kindness,
and take the place
of these evil spirits
that we commanded out.
We command them off this campground,
not to return,
in the name of Jesus.
Now give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.